It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 19th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. There will be an endless debate about whether Sony should have canceled the release of The Interview. And there might be more debate about where the hacking attack that brought the company to that decision actually came from. But there seems to be little question about what the decision means in one respect. It's proof positive that hackers can exert power over giant corporations and force them to do things. And for a hacker, that's a pretty attractive idea. Will it mean a boom in this kind of attack? Nova Sappho takes a look.
Chris Weissopel of the security firm Veracode has been monitoring hacker chatter over the Sony attack. And he says many hackers, like the authorities, are trying to see
what worked. How did you get in? How did you move around? How did you exfiltrate data? What kind of data had value?
Weissopel says hackers want to know which digital tools were used so they can adopt those tools. And he's been hearing from worried chief information security officers.
They're definitely concerned. This shows that there's attackers out there and that they are ready to go out there for blood.
The hacker mindset is often to outdo others.
Gabriella Coleman of McGill University has written a book on hackers and says the Sony attack set a new standard.
In this case, I do think that it will compel some hackers to do something similar and perhaps even more audacious.
Coleman expects there'll be more hacks aimed at sabotage, not just the leaking of information. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
One of the other interesting aspects of the Sony hacking attack is that it has many potential legal ramifications. The class action lawsuit of former employees saying the company didn't effectively protect their data, for instance, or the question of legal recourse when and if those responsible are identified without the shadow of a doubt. Let's talk a little bit more about that with Harvard's Jonathan Zittrain. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm very well, Ben. Thank you.
So, Jonathan, there's a couple of different legal angles to this Sony hack fiasco, right? One of which is former employees suing the company now for a lack of proper security. Do you have any thoughts about that particular case?
The things I'd be puzzled by about it are in standard kind of state court tort, as you'd call it, you know, like a car accident and you want money for a new fender, You need to have physical damage often to get in the door.
Uh-huh.
And here there's no physical damage upon the employees, even though the impact on their lives can be much more than what you would need for a new fender.
Let's talk about another potentially legal aspect of all of this, which is what the movie studios might do once an actual hacker or group of hackers is identified.
Well, good luck trying to get something out of North Korea. Of course, whoever is directly responsible for it would be chaseable under something like the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. But the interesting legal pieces of it may be sort of what are the implications if it's a state that is behind the harm? There might be, for instance, some insurance policy that Sony is hoping to collect from, maybe even a cybersecurity one, that treats cyber war differently from acts done by a teenager. Figuring out who's behind something could have implications kind of at the second order.
Jonathan Zittrain, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that couldn't have happened without the support from listeners like you. So please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. It's Silicon Tally time. My guest today is in a line of work I didn't even know existed until just recently. Lori Davis is a digital dating consultant at a company called eFlirt. Lori, are you ready to play Silicon Tally, the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from
I'm
the week's
ready.
Tech news? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 in 5 Europeans, 16 to 74 years old.
I don't know.
Any guesses?
Sexed.
That seems like a really good guess, right?
Thanks.
The number I'm actually looking for is have never used the internet.
That's insane.
This is according to a new study released this week by the EU. And so I guess they're not potential clients.
I could teach them so much.
Yes, I bet. All right, you got something for me?
I do. One mutual friend.
Most people who are looking for love on the internet have at least one mutual Facebook friend.
That's a pretty good guess also. But what I'm looking for is that one mutual friend is needed to connect with someone on the dating app Hinge.
Oh, yes.
And last week, Hinge announced that they raised $12 million for a Series A.
What kind of people do you recommend use Hinge?
Hinge is great, especially for people who are a little sketched out by the idea of online dating because,
sure.
you know, it's your friends of friends, so you can always get someone's opinion if you need to.
All right. 293 students.
293 students missed sex ed class.
The answer I'm actually looking for is Johns Hopkins University accidentally sent acceptance emails to 293 students who were actually rejected.
Ooh.
By the admissions office.
Rejection's hard. I think online there's kind of a faux sense of rejection also because you send out so many messages but you don't get as many in return.
Maybe they're a bot.
They could be a bot. They could be a spammer or a faker.
How can you tell?
Usually you can tell because their profile is too perfect.
Aha.
And then it's almost like if there were a romance dictionary. They took it right out of that.
The algorithm is using the romance thesaurus.
Exactly.
So what do you got for me?
Okay. 31% of Americans.
31% of Americans over the age of 18 have experimented in some form with online dating.
No.
Damn.
31% of Americans make their New Year's resolution relationship related.
Oh.
In fact, December 26th through February 14th, highest traffic time for online dating of the entire year.
It's like gyms and online dating sites are the same trajectory. That's so interesting. Lori Davis is a digital dating consultant. Lori, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Remember, there's a special online version of Silicon Tally for listeners at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.